Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Stories for Dark and Stormy Nights, Volume 6, Story 1. We've all had experiences like how healthy old people can tell you the day and almost the time they will die. I've had a bit of those. But the one that hit home the most for me requires a bit of background. I was not happy with the guy I had working. This was at an LTC on my midnight shift, and I was too afraid to have him work another night. So I went down to the facility and fired him. Then I took his shift. Turns out I was right to do that. In retaliation for his being fired, he set one of our buildings on fire, a building my old people were sleeping in. You have to experience it to understand, but when you're in a burning building and you are pretty sure you aren't getting out, and you about have to prove to the non-physical people that you were right about religion all along, you quickly form a bond with all the others that aren't going to get out of the building alive either. We did manage to get out, and everyone was safe except one person who did die a few days later. After that day, I was terrified of working the midnight shift. Some of our staff lived on the property, such as the groundskeeper. I was forever waking the poor guy up throughout the night, swearing I could smell smoke, or I'd heard crinkling of something burning. I would sit at the nurse's station and just shake and cry. Yeah, a little bit of PTSD, I think. G was a lady that had a history of a stroke. She didn't have poor short-term memory, and she had no short-term memory. After 7 years, she still couldn't remember who I was or what she was doing in the building. From the time of her stroke to the time she died, G always had her days and nights mixed up. She was quite content to walk the halls and quietly hum, sit with me at the nurse's station. Whatever she wanted, she actually had the entire A building to herself. We had buildings A through E. I would bribe G with candy to sit at the nurse's station with me while I worked. I never had to say anything. I just pulled a candy dish out and G would happily munch candy, would talk, and I'd do my work. I just needed a human to sit with me. This was our little secret. Actually, it was my little secret. I couldn't remember a time that she had stood up that she hadn't eaten my candy. Shortly after the fire, it happened to be that G died, and I was all alone again on a few nights I did pull the shift from 11 to 7. One night after G's death, I was sitting there trembling in fear, tears streaming down my face, ready to have the best ever panic attack, swearing I could see, hear, and smell fire smoke again. And out walks Kay. Kay was a cool lady, she really was. She was from Germany, and she was one of the people trapped in the burning building with us. I composed myself and asked what I could do for her. She sat down and said she thought it would be nice to chat. Loving the company and thinking she was probably unable to sleep, I said, sure, what would you like to talk about? She thought for a moment and finally said that G had just come to wake her up. I realized she had been dreaming. I reminded her that G passed away recently. Kay said she was aware of that, but G woke Kay and explained that when I work nights, I became afraid and needed someone to sit with me so I could do my work. G told Kay I was having a rough night, and it might make me feel better if Kay came out and spent a little time with me. I just sat there, not knowing what to say. I mean, that was my secret. I never told anyone about G, the candy, or our talks at night. Kay stood up, walked behind the nurse's station, sat down, and pulled out the hidden dish of candy. Then she proceeded to tell me what life was like for her when she was my age, living in Germany. Kay died about 2 years later, but to this day, I dearly love that woman. What a gem. Same with Kay. I don't expect anyone to believe it's true, but it is. Next story. My first job out of nursing school, I was working 8 hours a night. One night, I got a call from a nurse who asked me if I wasn't too busy to come right up to 3C, a men's ward. This is way back in the day. I saw the unit clock, and the hands of the clock were running counterclockwise, i.e. backwards and at a rapid rate. The hospital had the main clock somewhere in the basement, and the other clocks in the house were running correctly, clockwise. So this was the only clock that was running so oddly. Well, the older RN tells me, to wait and see what happens. Sure enough, within about 15 minutes, there is a code 99 called on another floor. It seemed that only during the night shift, if and when that particular clock ran backwards, someone would arrest and die. Yeah, that was me gulping. Fast forward 10 years later, I'm working at a large cancer hospital in New York City. Every so often, one of us regular 12-hour night shift nurses would see a figure come toward us out of the corner of our eyes, only to have it disappear when we looked up. Or maybe I would be writing my nursing progress notes and felt someone tap me on the shoulder, only to turn around and find no one there. Or how bed or room number 12 were always cold. Winter, spring, summer, no matter what the temperature was like inside or out, that room would be 5 or 10 degrees colder than the rest of the unit. Because of situations and strange happenings mentioned above, twice a year we would request that the hospital have different members of organized and or recognized religious leaders come to and pray in and around the unit. We've had shamans, rabbis, priests, Hindu Catholics, ministers, and reverends come in to pray for those who have died and those who will. I'm not sure if it helped anyone who had previously expired or died, but it did help us. So many of our patients died such horrible, tragic deaths. I guess it was to help us feel better. Next story. In the mid-80s, I was working day shift on a med-surg unit at the hospital. One morning in June, I came in to find a new patient that had been admitted the evening before. She was in her 40s and diagnosed with terminal cancer. She wasn't expected to live 2 weeks. 3 months later, she was still with us, and the staff had grown very close to her and her family. The morning of September 9th, I entered a room and knew that that was the day she would die. The atmosphere of the room changed the second you crossed the threshold. It felt oppressive. You could tell death was in the room. It was as if death was a physical presence. When our doctor made his rounds, he asked me how she was doing, and I just told him to let me know after he saw her. His only response after leaving the room was, "I see what you mean." Even though she had not changed physically in 3 months, at the end of the shift, all the staff members made a point of going in to say goodbye to her family. As far as I know, not one staff member ever mentioned it to any other. It just happened. Just after the evening shift came on and they made her visit to a room, she passed. We later found out that it was on the 1 year anniversary of her son's death. Next story. Back in the mid-1970s, I worked at a drug rehab for drug dependent teens. I normally worked the 3-to-11 shift, but I decided to do a double since we had a young lady in the observation room. The facility had been an old World War I Air Force base and a state mental institution before being changed into live-in rehab. The observation room was on the second floor, which had nothing except a very large dorm room and a small observation room. The nursing desk was just outside the door of the observation room. At the end of the large room was a metal door leading down to another metal door via metal stairs. All doors were locked and checked before my shift began. Exposed metal pipes were around the large dorm room, which were for heating and cooling. At about 2 a.m., I was sitting at the desk and I hear the bottom door open and footsteps coming up the stairs. I'm already on the phone to security for help. I see the door open at the end of the room and then close. In about 30 seconds, a pounding started on the pipes. It was as if someone was going around the room hitting the pipes with a stick. The pounding stopped and I saw the door open again and close. Needless to say, I was petrified. Security was there within 3 minutes of my call and all the doors were still locked. That is one night I will never forget. Next story. During clinicals at nursing school over the summer, we went to an older hospital that had been converted to a rehab unit after a hurricane. It was a 3-story facility, but only the top floor was being used. The elevator would stop on the second floor every time, which was being used only for storage. And being inquisitive, I asked the staff and found out that supposedly the second floor was haunted by an old ghost doctor who worked and died on the unit. I just had to investigate. I grabbed a classmate, and upon stepping onto the vacant, darkened unit, a call bell was on. We walked in and turned it off. What we weren't told is that the second floor was the old OR floor. It was pretty creepy walking through the old surgical suites. Well, once we'd made an entire trip around the unit, we came back to the nurse's station, which was adjacent to the elevator. As we rounded the corner to face the elevators, the doors to the elevator flew open and all the call bells went off as if to say, "Get out." Also, presently, at the SNF I work, from 11 to 7, I have seen a dark figure floating across the floor and walking into a room, only to disappear under the door. Next story. In 1999, I started working at a rural hospital housed in an old creaky building. The nurse's station for the ER was out in the hallway. There was a video camera so that we could see the ambulance doors from the desk. One night, I looked up and there was the figure of an old woman dressed in black walking in front of the doors. I didn't pay much attention since the woman didn't stop at the door. Later that same night, I looked at the monitor again and there was a woman standing in front of the door. I got up and went to the door to let her in, but there was no one there. Looked up at the monitor and there she was. Looked at the doors, no one there. I got freaked and mentioned it to my tech, and she said it was the ghost. Haven't seen her since we moved to the new building. In the last place I worked, the ICU, we had a death during the night, and the RN called for the transporters to take the body down to the morgue. A little later, one transporter brought the gurney back and parked it behind the nurse's station, saying the morgue was full and the body would have to wait there for the mortuary in the morning. The RN said okay. A while later, she heard something and looked up, and the glass in front of the room in front of herself, she saw a reflection of the body behind her, sitting up very slowly. She screamed bloody murder and ran out of the ICU before finding out that it was a second transporter and that they just decided to scare her. Next story. Several years back, when I was just a senior student nurse and was assigned to the isolation room of the ICU to take care of a lone patient who was there for a long time. The patient was unconscious for several weeks. He was brought to the hospital by policemen not knowing his identity. He was found unconscious on the sidewalk. He was on a respirator via tracheostomy. The trach was not a fenestrated trach. When all of a sudden, I heard somebody groan. At first, I thought that it might just be a sound of the respirator or the monitor, and so I ignored it. Then after several minutes, there was another groan, and this time it was louder than the first one. So I checked the monitor and the respiratory for any leaks. There was none. Every machine was intact and functioning well. My heart beat a little faster this time, however, still trying to keep a brave front, and I tried to sing to calm myself down. Again, for the third time, that groaning and moaning came back, and this time, I could not fool myself. No one was in the room except the patient and myself, and there's no way a patient and a tracheostomy with the kind of trach the patient had could groan or moan. I did not think this time, and I suddenly bolted out of the ICU door and found myself in the corridor of the second floor of the hospital in front of a surprised nursing supervisor who was about to visit me and see how I was doing. Well, you can imagine how that conversation went. Next story. Okay, you're all going to say that I'm cruel as hell on this one, and yeah, I guess I was. We had this one LPN that was scared of her own shadow, but was constantly trying to scare us. The nursing home I worked in from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., which I was a nursing supervisor at, was infamous for being haunted, even though it was a new building compared to the old home that a lot of residents came from. It had been the county poorhouse, infirmary, lunatic asylum, etc. since 1845. Well, apparently, they brought a few of their old friends with them when they came because, believe me, there was a lot of weird stuff happening there all the time. Anyway, as a supervisor, you had to go to the basement and check all the doors and make sure they were locked twice at night. Well, it was Halloween time, and they had an old casket down there for the haunted house they put on for the residents and the families. Well, I told one of the other nurses about it, and she insisted we go down and see it. I could already see the cogs turning. So, I took her down, and we pulled it down the hall so that it was right in front of the elevator. We got one of the aides to come down and lay in the coffin, and I went up and told this nurse that I had to go to the basement for supplies. She should have known something was up, because I was the only one that would ever go down there alone. Well, it was harder than hell to keep a straight face all the way. When the elevator doors opened, the aide pushed the lid of the coffin open and slowly sat up. I thought that nurse was going to go through the back of the elevator, and they could hear her scream clear upstairs. Needless to say, she never tried to scare anyone else again. But me, on the other hand, I'm bad. It's just not easy to do it when I work day shift. Next story. When I was an LPN and supervising a nursing home in the 3 to 11 shift, this was in the early 1980s. It was late at night, the first time I saw it, that is. I was sitting at the nurse's station, which could view down three long halls. I happened to look up and down one of the halls and saw this tall figure dressed in a long, black, flowing hooded robe. No sound from the tiled floor. It appeared and seemed just to glide down the hall. It entered the room of a hospice patient. I turned to one of the nursing assistants who had worked there for many years. Bobby just looked at me and said, "Yes, I saw it." "That was very unnerving." I asked her, "What was that?" She replied, "That was death. We better go down there and check on the resident." Trembling and heart pounding, Bobby and I walked down the hall into the resident's room. The resident indeed had just passed away. There was a distinct odor in the room, difficult to describe, but throughout my 34 years of nursing, I have smelled it several times before, during, and after a resident or patient has expired. The odor of death. I kid you not. After that incident, I saw the figure 3 more times, and always just prior to a death. I worked nights in facilities when the locked front doors would open with the alarm sounding and doors closed on their own, also associated with an event of death. Since I received my RMBSN, I have experienced patients' words of fears, explanations of what they'd visualized prior to their death, seeing and speaking to loved ones passed on before them. Those have described angels who have come to guide them from this earthly world. Now a nursing instructor, I teach clinical on a step-down ICU unit where we have patients who are prescribed comfort cares and those whose code status is changed to DNR or referred to hospice. The night and day nurses often talk about 2 rooms on the unit where the call lights come on throughout the shifts. The engineers have checked the systems, the hardware, electrical, and have found nothing wrong. It appears as these 2 rooms are rooms where patients have commonly expired from. Coincidence? Who knows? I only know that I don't ever want to be a patient in either of those 2 rooms. Next story. I am a home nurse. Most of my clients are ventilator patients. I've been warned by one family that the house was haunted, but nothing ever happened while I was there. The only nursing-related ghostly experience I can actually relate actually happened about 17 years ago, and I was not the nurse. I'm not even sure she was a nurse. She may have been an aide. It happened in a hospital in Northern Kentucky in April of 1989. Here's the short version. Postpartum, the room of a young mother and a newborn son. It was late afternoon. The nurse knocked and opened the door. She could not see the bassinet from the entryway, but could clearly hear the woman talking to the child, so she walked into the room. As she got to the corner of the entry, the young mother popped her head out of the bathroom and just about startled the nurse into a heart attack. The nurse apologized and explained that she heard her talking to her child and didn't realize she was in the shower. The mother went on to explain that she was not the one talking to the baby. She thought it was the nurse and was just stepping out of the shower to see who was there. They talked about it for a minute or two and verified that neither one had said a single word until they were both face to face, and it was definitely another woman's voice they both heard talking to the baby, who was asleep in the bassinet. The 2 agree that the little one had just had a ghostly visitor. That is all I know the nurse's experience. So, this is that same story, but from the mom's perspective. And actually, it was the 3rd time she'd heard the voice while she was in the shower. But every time she shut off the water and went into the room, the voice stopped. So the 3rd time, she thought she'd leave the water running and surprise whoever was talking to her child. The poor nurse jumped about a foot off the floor when she rounded the corner. All the commotion must have scared off the visitor, because after the nurse left, she was able to finish her shower and nothing else happened in the hospital. Then the 2nd day she was home from the hospital, she's in the kitchen doing some dishes while the baby slept in his bassinet in the living room. They were alone in the house, and after a while, she realized she could hear someone talking to him again, just like in the hospital. So she turned the water off, went into the room only to find her little angel still sleeping and no voices. Well, the 3rd time, she decided she needed to leave the water running in order to approach without interrupting. She stood just shy of the doorway and listened to someone talking to her son. It was really strange. She could hear very clearly but couldn't understand anything that she was saying, like listening to a grown-up talking in a Peanuts cartoon. She already decided that she was probably her husband's mother, her mother-in-law, who died when he was only 10, as of all of her relatives were still alive. So after a minute, she called out her name and got her attention. It worked. She answered and said, "What?" But that was all, and she never heard that voice again. Next story. I've worked in an LTC for a long time, most of those years on an 11 to 7 shift. There is one unit in our facility that is notorious for shadow sightings. Many people, including myself, have seen figures in our peripheral vision. It's usually when we're in the nurse's station charting. You see someone walk by, but when you look up, no one is there. This has happened to many different people on numerous occasions. We joke about it and often ask new people if they have met the ghosts on that unit. We also have residents who complain from time to time about children coming into their rooms and making noise in the hall in the middle of the night. One morning, we had 5 or 6 different residents in different rooms ask if that little boy was still there. There have also been times when a resident will refer to the girl behind you, but when you look, there is no one there. We've also had episodes of call lights in empty rooms coming on, doors slamming shut, and just a general uneasy feeling in certain rooms. It probably doesn't help that many of us have learned to do many tasks without turning on the bright lights so as not to disturb the sleeping residents. And things are always scarier by the light of night lights. Next story. One day I went into a patient's room. It was late at night and he was asleep. But when I looked at his feet, they resembled the hoof of a horse. I almost passed out. I was the only nurse on the floor at that time. He died soon after that. And when I shared my experience later with my other colleague on duty, she told me that his neighbors claimed that he frequently turned into a donkey at night and roamed the streets. I can still remember his name and picture him clearly lying in the bed as if it were yesterday. Strange, isn't it? Now, there was another story I heard from a nurse who said that one night she was floated to oncology at the hospital she used to work at. She was given a patient who was passing away and had been unconscious for several days. At one point during the night, the nurse went into the room and the patient was at the top of the bed and looked at her and said, "Don't let them take me." The nurse was freaked out and asked her who was going to take her, and she said, "That black thing up there," and pointed up in the air. The patient died within minutes. Next story. I used to work at this trauma center in Texas on the 6th floor. The hospital was old. Anyway, I worked night shifts at this hospital as a floor tech while I was going to nursing school. One night, there was this young lady on our floor dying of AIDS. She had contracted HIV through her boyfriend who had been using IV drugs. She was bleeding and was receiving countless blood transfusions, but she was losing the battle. At about 2 a.m., I heard her yelling out for someone, anyone. I went to her room and she said, "Whose kids are those?" She had been alert and oriented, so I was concerned and asked, "What kids?" "The little kids with the blue jean shorts, the blonde kids," she said. I informed her that it was 2 in the morning and that there were no children allowed on the floor at night. She appeared confused, stared at an empty space in the wall, and pointed at what she said where the children were. She died a few hours later. After the incident with the blonde children, that young lady died of AIDS. A few nights later, there was an older black lady on our floor who'd been admitted earlier that shift with a possible seizure. I was her tech. She was lucid. At about 2 a.m., she hit the call light and I went to her room. She was crouching with her body in the fetal position, crying. I asked her what was wrong. She replied, "Get those kids out of here." "What kids?" I replied. "Those little blonde kids," she yelled. "I don't want them in my bed. They're trying to take me." I told her to calm down, that there were no children in her room. This did not calm her. In fact, it made her worse. She began screaming hysterically, "Oh my God, what do they want with me? Get them off my bed." She was slapping at air, screaming, "Don't you see them?" I told her no, as she screamed even louder. While her nurse called the doctor, I finally convinced her that she would be okay if she closed her eyes, which she did. She told me that she needed to pee. I offered her a bedpan, which she refused. She told me she had problems peeing in a bedpan, so I got her up to the bedside commode and stood beside her waiting for her to finish. She still had her eyes closed. She asked me to wait right outside the door and that she would call me when she was finished, which I did. Her door was cracked so I could see and hear her in case of a seizure. All of a sudden, she began seizing. I yelled for the nurse as I ran to her side. She was slumped on the bedside commode, having a grand mal seizure. It took the entire floor to get her back to the bed because she was very overweight. She went into respiratory arrest, was coded, and died that night. That is when I started wondering about those blonde children and what they might be there after all. I continued working at the trauma center in Texas as a nurse tech and the nurses heard rumors about the blonde children and had begun being kind of paranoid about it. It seemed like people that were dying or just plain sick were seeing children. Some of them described them as blonde, and some just didn't want to describe them. They just wanted them to go away. There was a young trauma patient who had a gunshot wound to the abdomen and had gone septic. He was febrile and was delusional. However, he shared a commonality with other patients that he described the blonde children in his room. He told us that the kids are so cute. Whose are they? When we asked what kids, he replied, "The cute little blonde boy and the girl right over there." He was pointing to an empty space in the room. He said their eyes were piercing him. He begged me not to leave him. I stayed with him for a while talking about things that didn't make any sense, but it seemed to comfort him just having someone with him. I began thinking of the movie Children of the Corn. He said he had never seen the movie. He had to be transferred to ICU that night and died a few days later. Nurses started refusing to take patients in reports that were knowingly seeing children. Everybody was creeped out. Anyway, that's all I have on the blonde children. I left Texas and came to Orlando, and I suppose the children stayed behind. Next story. The ER at my house was probably the most actively haunted. I worked nights as a tech while I was in school. The triage light would come on when the secretary would be in the station with us. One night was very active. Our only patient had died. I cleaned the room and put a fresh sheet on the bed. When I came back by that room from putting the trash in the dirty utility room, the sheet was folded over on itself from the top and bottom, meeting in the middle. I fixed and went about my business. The next time I came by later, the sheet was the same way again. I fixed it. Later, we had a patient on that hall, and I went to get vitals. The sheet was folded down at the top and bottom again. I told the nurses what was going on back there, and we all agreed it was the ghost. I was going out to smoke under the ambulance hood. As I was walking by the cast room, I could hear things being moved around in the supply room at the back of the cast room. I went to check, and nothing was out of place, even though I had just heard things being fumbled through loudly. I went outside and was trying to enjoy my smoke break, but the automatic doors kept opening and closing. I looked through the doors and could see all the nurses, so none of them were near the automatic button to open it. There were no bugs flying about to set off the sensor. I finally said out loud, something to the effect of, "Hey, I'm tired. It's been a long night. So leave me the beds and the supply closets alone and let me enjoy my break." The door didn't open anymore. The beds were left made, and the rest of the night was uneventful. No one had any clue as to who the ghost could be. It was a fairly new ER at the time. Next story. A few years ago, I was in nursing school, but my wife had been a nurse for 27 years, 16 of them working for hospice. She'd had a lot of experiences that cemented her belief in angels. At one hospice house, I had a therapy dog who lived in the facility. Shotzi would cruise the halls and seek out families in crisis. He tended to spend most of his time at the rooms of people who were about to be discharged, celestially, that is. I experienced the spirit when I worked nights on a drilling rig in Oklahoma. I was a derrick hand, and part of my duties were to manage the pit system which controlled the drilling fluid. A particular hammer that I used would move around the pits, always ending up where I needed it to be. Rarely did anyone else wander the pits at that time of night, and they knew to leave my tools alone. At times, I would get a feeling that I should check out one pump or another. Every time I did, I would find a leak that was just starting to form. This convinced me that there was a spirit and that it was a derrick hand like myself. I asked my driller if anyone had ever died on the rig, and he was adamant that nobody had ever died there. I told him I thought a derrick hand ghost was helping me. He didn't believe me. A week later, my driller approached me and demanded to know who had told me about the dead derrick hand. He had asked an older driller who had been with the rig from construction. On the second day, a derrick hand was killed in a terrible accident, crushed on the drilling floor. My driller was freaked out, but I was calm, since I already knew the ghost was friendly, even helpful to me. Next story. Years ago, the emergency department was staffed by only one RN, as it was a small rural hospital. If we needed the doctor, we had to wake him up. Sometimes we had a student nurse on with us if there was a spare. Anyway, there I was, this young student, when we could hear someone in the waiting room calling out for help. How they had gotten in, we weren't sure, but decided when he left later that the wardsman on that night had left the back door open. The patient was a small Irishman of slim build, and I asked him his name. He told us, and the student went off to get his casualty card out of the filing system. I asked him what was wrong with him, and he said, "I need to see a doctor. Help me." I was sitting beside him on the bench, and the funny thing is I never touched him to calm him down, as usually I'm a very touchy person. The student came back and said there was no record of this person in the filing system. Told her to look in the pile waiting to be filed, but no success, even though the gentleman was now insisting that he had been to casualty a night or two before. He refused to have any observations taken and started saying that if we wouldn't help him, he may as well go home and die. We told him to wait there and we would ring the doctor to come over, as he was quite distressed and we were feeling a bit unnerved by his behavior. Off we both go to the office and ring the doctor, and then we go back to tell the would-be patient that the doctor will be along soon. The gentleman's gone and the doors were still locked after we went through the area looking for him. Even the back door was locked. By this time we were feeling quite freaked out by it all and started commenting on how the waiting area was cold despite it being summer. Even the doc commented on the room temperature when he arrived. Anyway, we entered his name in the book where we recorded patients being seen in the apartment and checked back and saw that he had been there two nights previously and was recorded that night as a DNW. Did not wait. Thought no more about it till a few nights later. I was at home in bed asleep when the other RN who did my relief nights in casualty rang me at home hysterical. Wanted to know what the man looked like and what he was wearing when we saw him. Then she hung up and ran back later, still upset, to say that she and the doctor who were on that night had seen the man in question two nights previously and they had the same experience with him. He had left without being assessed fully and got off saying he might as well go home and die. An ambulance had turned up with him a few hours later and he was dead on arrival. After speaking with me the first time, they had gone down to the morgue to make sure he was still there. The poor student nurse who was with me that night was working again, and they made her go with them to make sure it was the same guy. The student nurse refused to work in casualty at night again, and I made sure that I had all the lights on. Used to run through the old apartment if I had to go through there when the new hospital was being built. Since then, I've believed, but I never run through the old apartment ever again, just in case.